Good morning, everyone. Here we are on the last holy day of 2019. I hope you will agree with me that some things in life are just so very, very predictable. If you listen to the weather forecast, you just know that in the next 2 weeks, you're going to hear a forecast that says there's a 50-50 chance of rain tomorrow afternoon. And if you go to the eye doctor because you haven't been able to see the fine print lately, you're going to get a report that says you need to have stronger lenses to have your vision be 20/20. And if you go to the Holy Day service in the morning, you are bound to hear 16/16. So now, because I know we have, thanks to the song leader today, we have one person who's here for the first feast, and I had lunch the other day with a person who was here for his second feast. So I'm going to tell you that's in Deuteronomy. For the rest of you, you've probably been doing that for 10 or 20 years, so you know 16:16 we're talking about. That 16:16 is in Deuteronomy, and I'll just read it to you. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So I'd like to stop right there with empty-handed. And I have a story to tell you about Vinny, who was going to visit his Italian grandmother, who lived not too far away, and she was not going to be able to go to the feast this year because of her ill health. So he had arranged to visit her. A couple of days before his visit, she called him, and the conversation went like this. Vinny, I'm so glad you're coming to visit me. I'm really looking forward to seeing you. Now, I want to remind you, when you come and you park in the parking lot, you get out of your car, you close the door with your elbow. You slam the door with your elbow. And then you remember, we have new sliding doors on our building, so it's so easy to get into the lobby. And in the lobby, when you come to the elevator, with your elbow, push the button to call the elevator. And when you get on the elevator car, push number 3 with your elbow. And when you get off on 3rd floor, push my doorbell with your elbow. And Vinny says, Grandma, why are you telling me to do all these things with my elbow? And she said, Vinny, are you coming to see me empty-handed? Well, Vinny did not go to see Grandma empty-handed, and we do not come to see God empty-handed. But in case you did forget your envelope, we will be taking up an offering in a few minutes, so if you need a green envelope, please raise your elbow and the ushers will bring you one. While that's going on, I'd like to focus our attention on one great quality of God, and that is he is omnipresent. It's found in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, and I'd like to read through that today. We joke with each other about not being able to be in two places at once, but God does not have that limitation. And so today we want to realize that he is in the east and he's in the west. He's in the faraway places. He's in the high places and the low places where my friends are. And he is in the light and in the dark. Jonah found this out the hard way when he tried to run from God, but he found out you can run from God, but you cannot hide from him. So now in Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike to you. So he extends himself throughout the universe, and he has done great and marvelous things. And we look around and see those great works of his hand. We should give him glory for all the great things he has done. He has extended himself throughout the universe. So how can you and I extend ourselves? How is our influence spread to others? Well, I think there's a few ways. First is our service to others in our own home areas, in little ways and in big ways. And sometimes the opportunity just presents itself and you can step up and serve someone. You can also extend yourself through your example, through your personal conduct. This is a way that we can extend ourselves. And then we can also extend ourselves by our influence in the way that we inspire and encourage others. Sometimes just a little word of encouragement makes a big influence and may lift that person if he's having a slow down day. But today, you and I can extend ourselves by our offering, and I'd like to explain that. Through your offering, you can extend a bit of yourself to the lonely widow by assisting her to subsist on her meager income. Through your offering, you can put gas in the car for the minister to be able to visit that widow and others who are prospective members, excuse me, and regular members as well. Through your offering, you can enable a couple in Africa to receive their Beyond Today magazine as your offering is extended to them on the printed page. Through your offering, you can enable isolated church members who live around the world to receive the webcast each week. And some of those people who receive the webcast may not be all that isolated, but they feel that way because they are sick and cannot attend services on the weekly Sabbath or on the holy days. In fact, my wife and I were housebound a few years ago when I was recovering from a medical procedure and we were not able to attend the feast. And there's nothing like the fellowship that comes with the feast, but there's also a wonderful connection we had because we could watch with a webcast. And we were, again, just recently, she had hip surgery, so we have been housebound for several weeks, and she's able to be here today, thankfully. And so not everybody who receives those webcasts are in really isolated places. So giving your offering may seem like a simple act, but it was a way to express your love to the present church members and to the future church members and to members around the world. I hope that gives you a warm feeling. I think it should give you a warm feeling that you know you're helping in that way. So giving has been called a thermometer of our love. And I hope today when we give our offerings, we're giving like we have a high fever because we really love to help. Each holy day, we also have certain verses that are often quoted. I'm going to use the same verse that the offertory speaker gave on a week ago for that holy day, and it's in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. You'll recognize it. Maybe you have it memorized. Excuse me. And I like to read it from four different translations, which I think will give us more of a broad understanding of this verse. The first is in the New King James Version. So let us each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The next is, this is 2 Corinthians 9, 7 in the New Century Version. God loves the person who gives happily. And the Message translation puts it this way. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. And in the Contemporary English Version, which is my favorite on this verse, it says, each of you must make up his own mind about how much to give. God loves people who love to give. God loves people who love to give. So that, I think, is a really cheerful way of saying it. So a cheerful giver is one whose heart is in his giving. So it's a fascinating thing to think that we are extending ourselves to their offerings. And in reality, I guess it's really God who is extending himself through us. We not only represent Jesus Christ, but we are to be a reflection of him. So God includes us in this process of being a blessing to others. I have two quotes that are very familiar. Some of you probably have heard them before, but I'm going to use them again because they're so appropriate for a day of offering. The first is, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And that was said by Victor Hugo and then about 10 other people later on. So anyway, Victor Hugo gets the credit today. And the other is from Winston Churchill, and he said, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. So as we prepare to extend ourselves around the world, or as I probably should say, as God prepares to extend himself around the world through you and me, let's be generous as God has been generous to us. He's given us abundantly, so let us also give abundantly to others. And let's be sure that we're useful instruments in God's hands.